Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome once again to another edition of Wrestle Chat Radio. Marcus King coming to you live from the SBTV studios right here in New York. And for the next 2 hours, we will be discussing the world of professional wrestling at 347-215-8486. 347-215-8486, if you'd like to get in on our conversations. Of course, as always, you can hit us up in the chat room, and we'll take your questions, your comments, and your opinions there as well. Certainly, we have a lot to talk about. We have, of course, the return of Aces and Eights to Impact, or at least three of the members of Aces and Eights to Impact. We have news on Tessa Blanchard, which we had rumors were flying a couple of weeks ago. We now have some confirmation. We have a little more on Roman Reigns' situation, contract situation, a weird story involving WWE haircuts. Some sad news with Jake the Snake Roberts and Virgil. But I want to start, we don't cover indies very much, but I wanted to start with this story because I think it's important. At an indie show in Atlanta, Georgia, I think it was, well, it might be not in Atlanta, it was in Georgia. Indie show in Georgia, I believe it was the IWE, a professional wrestler got into a brawl with a fan. Now, it wasn't a brawl because security broke it up right away, but a lot of people are taking this side, taking that side, saying what went wrong, who's to blame, this type of thing. So I've watched the incident several times, and you can watch it yourself. It's on YouTube. And what happens is a fan who may or may not have been drunk, my suspecting is that he was jawjacking with a wrestler, who then the wrestler flipped his hat off. He reached out across the guardrail and flipped his hat off. Almost immediately, this guy, who was a pretty big guy, he was bigger than the wrestler, headbutts the wrestler, literally headbutts him. Security comes in, grabs the guy, but then the wrestler comes flying back, tries to punch him, and there's a mess. So I can only give you my perspective. I wasn't there, and I don't know what the two were saying prior to the hat being flipped off, so I don't know. I don't know if the guy said something that angered the wrestler so bad that he flipped his hat off, or if the wrestler honestly thought this guy is giving me heat and I'll make him a part of the show by just flipping his hat off, which really isn't, you know, it's not exactly an assault. All he did was flip his hat off. I don't know. Now, as far as the legalities of it is concerned, I don't think it would hold up in court that somebody flipping your hat off is cause for you to physically assault them. I'm pretty sure that doesn't hold up in court as a just cause. My theory, and I could be wrong because, again, I wasn't in that audience, my theory is that the wrestler thought this fan was a smart fan. My theory is that this wrestler said, this guy's giving me hell. But he's giving me hell because he knows the deal. And I'll just flip his hat off and he'll be, you know, it'll be fun. It'll be a good experience for him and it'll be fun. And instead it turned into a brawl. However, the mistake that was made by the professional wrestler, at least in my opinion, is once you got headbutted, yes, you were assaulted. Yes, it probably made you very angry. Yes, you were probably extraordinarily upset. You can't come back at the guy. You're the professional in that particular situation. You need to let security handle it. If you want to press charges, go press charges. But at that particular moment, your duty is to walk the hell away and defuse the situation, not escalate the situation. If you've got fans in the audience and they're serving them beer after beer after beer after beer to make money, then you got to be smart enough to know, okay, I was wrong. I thought this guy was sort of a, you know, giving me heat to be a part of the show. I flipped his hat off. He's really mad at me. He's assaulting. He's probably drunk. Let me just back off. Let security take care of this. You didn't do that. And for you to come back at the guy is unprofessional. Now, I know there's going to be a lot of indie workers out there who say, so let me get this straight. If a guy hits me, I can't hit him back. No, that's not what I said. Listen very carefully. If some guy jumps the guardrail and tackles you and starts beating you, of course you can hit him back. Just like I said with Seth Rollins when he was tackled. However, he didn't jump the guardrail. You reached over the guardrail. Now, you might have did it innocently. I've had wrestlers do that. I've had wrestlers flick their sweat at me, literally wipe the sweat off themselves and flip it at me but they know. Usually wrestlers are pretty smart, and if they don't know me, actually know me. Somebody does, usually at one of the shows. But even if they don't, they kind of get the idea that this guy's safe to get some heat off of, and if I do something rude to him, he's not going to go crazy. He's just going to yell and scream at me, and we'll have a nice exchange, and I'll get some heat. You made a mistake. You picked the wrong guy. You picked probably a drunk, and you picked a guy who took serious offense, apparently, to having his hat flipped off. And unfortunately, you're the guy that reached over the guardrail. Now, did the fan overreact? 1,000% the fan overreacted. The guy's an idiot and probably drunk. But if that was the end of it, if security just came and said to the fan, okay, well, you physically assaulted this guy, whether he flicked your hat off or not, you're out of here. It's an incident that's forgotten. The reason we're talking about it now is because the wrestler then tries to jump over security guards, taking swings at a guy that's clearly in the audience. He's still not over a guardrail, folks. I want you to remember that. Now, regardless of what my personal feelings are, and regardless of how much I may sympathize with that guy and say, man, I'd have jumped over the guardrail and tried to beat his ass too, you cannot, because that's not legal. That's why the guardrail is there. If the fan reached over a guardrail and hit a wrestler, he's going to be arrested. The wrestler reaches over the guardrail and provokes an incident. What you have to do as a wrestler is to say, my bad, I wasn't trying to really be mean to the guy. I wasn't trying to be aggressive. I was trying to make him a part of the show. I was trying to get some heat off him, and I thought he was smart enough to realize that I was just kidding around. My bad, I'll walk away from this. Let security haul him out. But the worst thing about this, folks, is it discourages wrestlers from breaking that barrier. And that's a shame. That's a shame. I remember going to ECW shows, and Too Cold Scorpio was actually in the ring, walking around, and some fans were yelling at him before he started, saying, I guess he knew them, or they were regulars there or something. I don't remember them being there, and I was pretty much a regular there. And they said, hey, Scorpio, how come you never throw anybody into the audience our way? And he said, because you don't move. And they said, you're always throwing them over there with that guy. He said, yeah, because he moves. When wrestlers understand they can trust you, then they can sort of make you a little bit of, you know, a part of it to some extent. They can get in your face. They can yell at you, scream at you, because they kind of know, yeah, you're just coming along with the game. I actually had a wrestler bring a guy over and let me chop him in the chest because he knew I wasn't going to try to poke a hole in the guy's chest or hit him too hard. He understood. He was very much understood this guy's safe. Sometimes you make a mistake. He made a mistake. But because you made a mistake and you picked on a guy who thought flicking my hat off is the same thing as, I guess, punching me in the face, you paid the price and you got headbutted. But then you have to eat it. You have to. You cannot continue that fight if you're the professional. You can't do it. So who's to blame? Well, I think the fans partially to blame for a complete ridiculous overreaction. But the escalation of this is the fault of the wrestler, because you have to let it go. Security's there. They're holding the guy out. You want to wave goodbye to him and say, you're an idiot, you're an asshole, you're this, you're that, the other thing. Go for it. Physically trying to get to him after that does not bode well. And I'm sorry, but if I'm a promoter, I'm looking at you saying, how can I trust you? Are you going to make this mistake again? If a fan does something one way or the other, you're going to jump over the railing and hit him? There's ways you take care of that. This wasn't it. So while I sympathize with the wrestler, and I do not think his actions in any way, shape, or form were meant to provoke that guy, at the end of the day, it did provoke that guy. And once it did provoke that guy and you took the headbutt, you got to let security handle it, my friend. Mike, I don't know if you saw the incident, but what's your thoughts on it?
You know, a couple of things. I remember what happened at the Hall of Fame, what was it, a couple years back, when there was a guy that jumped out of the crowd or whatever and attacked. I believe it was Bret Hart, right? And
yes.
And what ended up happening was Ronda Rousey's husband jumped out of the crowd and went and tackled him. I believe that's what happened. You know?
Yep.
And that was all legal. Like, that was the right thing to do for that guy to do, because it doesn't seem like nobody was doing anything at the time. Also, I remember an angle that they run with Brie Bella and what's her name, and Stephanie, where Stephanie had Brie Bella come back, had Brie Bella kicked out the building. Brie Bella goes out, buys a ticket, comes back as a fan. And
right.
When Brie Bella got in her face, Stephanie's face, Stephanie was the one that reached over into the crowd and hit Brie Bella. Brie Bella was there as a fan. Right, as
right.
The gimmick goes. So
right.
what later ended up happening is Brie Bella comes back with the cops and arrests Stephanie McMahon, which is what should happen. You can't, if you're a performer, you cannot reach and initiate the contact in most cases. Now, from what this says, like you said, it's a guy trying to get heat. He thought he could, and he thought he could get heat off of a guy. I mean, I've seen many a times the Sandman go stand on the railing and have somebody hand him a beer and either spit it on them or pour it in their mouths or whatever. I've
yep.
seen that happen, you know?
Yep. Mm-hmm. No, and I was one of them, believe me. I've been drenched with beer at ECW shows, not just by the Sandman. And I've been hit. When they went into the audience, you can't move fast enough sometimes, and you get hit. And, you know, you accept the fact that, they're trying to get some heat. Now, had he slapped the guy? Had he physically touched the guy? Then, I'm sorry, then, yeah, the wrestler is wrong, and he could potentially face arrest. But he didn't. I know these type of guys. I know what's in their mind. And I wasn't there. So maybe the guy said something really bad to him and he was being aggressive by flipping his hat off. I don't know. But I do know that I've known the type of guys who think, oh, this guy's yelling at me, but he's kind of smart to the business. So I'm just going to do something, you know, like flip his hat or pretend to spit on him and spit close to him or hell, even push them. I've seen fans. I've seen wrestlers give a fan a little bit of a shove, like a playful poke finger shove or something, or poke their finger in their face or on their chest or something, and they think I'm safe because this guy's in the know and it we're actually sharing a moment. That's what they think, but it's not smart unless you know the guy. Unless you actually know that fan and you say, look. I already know him. I've had wrestlers who know me. And so they say, well, if I barrel him over or even if I was to push him or shove him, he's not going to do anything. He knows me and he knows I'm working. This guy obviously didn't. Now, again, I don't know if he was drunk, and I don't know what words were exchanged prior, but irregardless, the response to having your hat flicked off shouldn't be to headbutt somebody with your entire, strength of your neck and shoulders. The guy got pissed. I know he reacted out of instinct. I understand. Somebody hits you, your instinct is, I'm going to hit him back. But security was there, and security had the guy. And you can't go trying to dive over security to get a piece of the guy. You can't do it. Now, the situation with Bret Hart was different. This guy crossed the barricade and entered the ring. At that point, all bets are off. If this guy had jumped the barricade and headbutted this wrestler, then if this wrestler beat the hell out of him, tough. You don't jump the barricade. That's what the barricade's there for. You don't jump it. But he didn't. He never once crossed the barricade. So you can't go back after him. You want to press charges? Press charges. Wait till the match is over. Find out where the guy is. You know he's going to at least the police. I don't even know if they took him to the police precinct. They might have just ejected him. I don't know. But if they wanted to press charges, they certainly could have. And he could have went down and sworn out a statement. But you can't attack him. You can't do it. Todd, you know, we've been around situations like this, and you just can't attack. You just can't do it. You just can't attack a fan.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, it goes both ways. A fan can't lay his hands on a wrestler, or a wrestler can't lay his hands on a fan as well. Like you said, it's the... Like you said, it goes both ways once in a while, too.
Yeah. Now, like I told you, I've had wrestlers play up to me and yell and scream and holler and even poke me in the chest and you know, that kind of stuff. And I knew, they're kidding. They're working. That's the whole point. They're working. There's a line you don't cross. I mean, I don't want somebody spitting in my face. That's not working. But if you're just yelling at me or poking me or giving me a push, I don't care. But then, you know, I can't cross the barricade. Or they'll kick me out because I'm not working. Okay, if I'm sitting there as a fan, I'm not working. So this is a complicated situation, and all I can say is this. If I'm the promoter who did issue a statement apologizing to the fans and everything, which is the right thing to do, it's the politically correct thing to do, but you got to have a talk with that guy. And just tell him, I know your temper got the best of you, but you made a very poor error in judgment. Do not play up to the fans unless you're damn sure, that they're playing along with you. Damn sure. As in, I've already spoken to this guy, and I already know he's playing along with me, or someone vouched for him. Another wrestler vouched for him. I had a situation once that was really funny. I was in New Jersey at a indie show, and there was a wrestler I knew working there. And most of the people in the back I did not know. And apparently, after match number one, one of the wrestlers came out and said, there's a pretty big guy sitting in the front row you might want to avoid because he's very vocal. He seems very vocal, and maybe he's, you know, maybe he's going to be trouble. And the wrestler who knew me laughed and said, no, that's actually the guy you want to confront. That's the guy who's going to give you the heat. He's not trouble. He understands what's going on. He's giving you heat. And from then, everything was cool. But you see, they were erring on the side of caution, saying, somebody's having a big mouth and yelling, screaming at me. Maybe they mean it. And I'll avoid that guy because I don't want to fight. I don't want to have a problem here. And until somebody vouches for you and says no, that he's very safe, you just can't. It's a shame you can't. And I know ECW did it all the time. Believe me, I know ECW did it all the time. I set the rings up in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, and I was at every ECW show there. And I remember sometimes when ECW guys and fans got into flat-out brawl, New Jack, Too Cold Scorpio, Sandman, The Dudleys, I've seen it. I've seen it. But they were a different breed, and it was different then. In today's world, you can't do it. Especially if it's a family-friendly show, too, you know? I mean, you don't want to bring your kids and then a brawl breaks out in the audience, right? That's not what you want. And then the police come and you say, I'm never going back there again because it was traumatizing for my 9-year-old or 10-year-old who just came to see some wrestling. I get that. So it's just a bad incident all the way around, Mike. And I guess, you know, there's equal blame. But at the end of the day, I guess the message is, if you're a wrestler, be damn sure of the guy that you're going to touch in any way, shape, or form, even their hat, because you might be dealing with a lunatic.
Right, and it's like you said, I know a guy who at one point was running, and I don't know who was running a indie federation. I don't know if he's still running it anymore, but I knew him, and at one point I went to one of their shows, and he was playing it. He was playing a heel at the time, and I knew him. I was friends with him. I went up there, and I was sitting in the front row, and he passes by me, and I go, you know, and I kind of reach over, and I hit him or whatever, or I get in his face, and I said something to him, and he was cool with it because I knew him, and he knew me, and he knows I'm a fan of wrestling, and he knows that I know what's going on, and I he told me later that he went in the back to the rest of the heels, and he said, hey, there's this guy in the front row that if you want to play to him, go ahead and play to him, you know? You know?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Because that's where he's going to come from, especially on an indie show, because, you know, I've been at indie shows where I didn't even know the guy. I mean, I remember going to an indie show where there was literally, it sounded like a library. The wrestlers were coming out, fans were just like, I mean, quiet as church mice. And there was a manager, I'd never seen him before in my life, came out, a little guy, screaming and yelling at fans who were literally just, like, ignoring him. He's saying, oh, you people, shut up. And they're just like, whatever. So me and my crew said, let's give him some heat, you know. And we started really giving him the business. And he knew. He knew immediately. And he played that side of the ring for the rest of the night because he understood. He didn't get the crowd worked up. Wrestlers do that all the time. In indie shows, I mean, even in big shows they do, but indie shows especially. Indie shows especially. But there is a line, and you have to be careful. You do have to be careful. Because if you pick the wrong person or you go a little too far, then what? You know what I mean? You have to be careful. So, unfortunately, this is going to put a bigger gap between indie wrestling workers and fans because now all the workers are going to say, oh, don't jawjack too much with a fan. He might jump on, you know, he might do this, he might do that, or don't reach out and touch him in any way, or don't try to make him a part of the show. And it's a shame because that's usually when the rest of the audience really comes alive. That guy could have had a great interaction. Again, I don't know. Maybe they were really fighting. Maybe that guy said something so ridiculously bad that the wrestler was like, hey, F you. That's another thing. You can yell at the wrestlers. You can scream and holler at the wrestlers. There's a line that you really don't want to cross. Okay? You don't want to get personal or racial or whatever with people, obviously. There's things, most wrestling fans know what's okay to say and what isn't. Most wrestling fans know how to give people heat. You suck and, you know, whatever. But I don't know. I wasn't there. So I don't know if the guy crossed the line. I don't want to be one of those guys who automatically assumes, but it was an African-American wrestler and it was a Caucasian guy. I don't know if that guy used any racial language or I don't know. If he did, and the only thing that guy did is flick his hat off, well, then he was more calm than I, you know, he probably should be, because I know that there was an absolute brawl in Jim Thorpe, Pennsylvania, when somebody did that to New Jack. And I mean a brawl. it was probably seconds away from the police act. Well, the police were called, actually. The police were called, now that I recall. It, probably 20 minutes after the incident, but police were called. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a shame that these things happen. All I can say is, if you're a worker, be careful who you approach. It doesn't hurt to give a wink, too. You know what I mean? I used to do that. If I was going to go over and really give somebody hell, I mean really, really give them hell, I usually gave them a little wink so they understood he's not, you know, he's playing with me. Because if you just call some, you know, you got some fat guy in the audience, you come over there and you start telling them they're a fat piece of blah, 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 I don't know. Maybe the guy's going to jump the railing and try to punch my lights out. I give him a little quick wink. He kind of knows, oh, you're playing with me. Doesn't hurt. I don't know what the incident before this was. I don't know. Anyway, let's get on with the rest of the news. Jake the Snake Roberts had an indie show, announced that cancer has returned. And he has some, I guess, a mass in his chest or something that needs to be removed. This was after him saying he was perfectly healthy and JR, when JR had said he wasn't. And it's a real weird thing because JR had said, you know, pray for Jake Roberts. He's not in good health. And Jake Roberts said, I don't know what anybody's talking about. I'm fine. And then he kind of admitted, no, I'm not fine. So I don't know where this came from. It's a shame, and we obviously wish him the best. He had cancer once before in a, I don't remember what part of his body, it wasn't his chest, and it was cut out, and he was cancer-free, so let's hope this happens again. And Virgil had been diagnosed with second stage, I think it's colon cancer. It's just terrible. I mean, you know, what can you say, except you wish them all the best, and you know, it always seems to be, Mike, that there's bad news on the wrestling front somewhere.
Yeah, it always seems like that. And look, we know Jake has basically lived a hard life, right? I mean, he's lived a hard life, and I don't want to say he deserves it, but you know, I mean, look, cancer is cancer, and that's the thing, and we don't know if it's going to be just him cutting it out that's going to do it, get rid of it. Because, look, you know, and as far as Virgil goes, we know what that gimmick was. That was a rip-off of a rip-on Dusty Rhodes, right? That whole Virgil yeah. thing, right? So, but I hope they've caught it in time because my dad had colon cancer, and he died of it after he got COVID, but he died of it. I hope they've caught this stuff in time, because if they haven't, Virgil's done.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, second stage, I guess, is not – I mean, it could be worse, right? It's third and fourth stage. So second stage, I guess, at least there's a chance, a decent chance, and he's going to probably get – I know he's raising money. It's listen, here's the deal. If you're the WWE, and I mean this sincerely, if you're the WWE and you want to make a little bit of good headway, you pay for this man's treatment. Period. He should not have to be on the internet raising money. I understand he's not working for you now. I understand he was a former whatever. He's in no way under contract. You're not going to use him ever again. It doesn't matter. To a certain extent, he was one of your alumni in a time when you were doing the very best ratings you've ever done in your life. And if you can't reach out and at least cover some of these expenses, I don't know what message that sends to the locker room, but, you know, I don't know what message that sends as far as loyalty. I know that if I were Vince McMahon and I'm sitting on a $1 billion empire, I would at least say we should be able to cover some of this. I mean, at the end of the day, you could give them a Legends contract and say, well, as a Legends contract, you got our insurance, right? At least you could do that. Because he's not like Jake, where I guess Jake probably has some decent financial capabilities, a superstar for a very long time, and I don't know what Virgil's is. I don't think Virgil's was good, because I remember hearing stories about Virgil sitting in bus stations with a sign that says former WWE superstar Virgil, trying to, you know, get people to pay for autographs and photo ops when it wasn't even a wrestling convention. It's a bus station. So I don't think he has that financial capability. This is the time, WWE, this is the time to spread a little goodwill and reach out. I hope they do. I hope they do. Anyway, talking about something else, Tessa Blanchard's gone from WOW, Women of Wrestling. We speculated this was going to happen. We said right now she's with WOW, but a lot of people saying it's not going to be for very much longer. And sure enough, Tessa Blanchard's out of WOW. I don't know what her issue is. I honestly don't. I don't know why she can't get along with anyone, but apparently she cannot. But there are rumors flying around that Vince McMahon might give her a shot. She is a free agent, as far as I know. She is a very, very qualified worker, and she is a semi-big name. And something like Tessa Blanchard versus Charlotte Flair sounds like a great match. It really does. But before any of that happens, somebody has to sit down with her and literally say, we're not putting up with any bullshit, as in zero. You're coming in here with a really, really, really bad reputation. So let's understand that. You're not coming in here like sugar candy saying, everything's fine, and then there's some behavioral issues where we say, okay, well, I mean, she never had any in her career, so let's give her a second and third and fourth chance. No, you're coming in here already three strikes. Okay, so I got news. One thing happens, and your contract's null and void. We're not putting up with it. So you better go in there and make some friends in the locker room. And you better not come in here with a chip on your shoulder, and you better not come in here causing all kinds of controversy. If she agrees to that, which she might not, then I'd be okay with Vince McMahon signing her. Otherwise, I think she's best avoided, because this is not one incident. Impact, there was trouble. Down in Mexico, there was trouble. Now there's trouble over here in Women of Wrestling. She went to that independent event and basically said that Sandman is a misogynist and took a very personal conversation public. For the benefit of people who don't know that story, apparently the Sandman had said in the locker room that the women were the main event that night, and he said that's absolutely ridiculous. That the, you know, for the most part, an independent show, for the most part, women shouldn't be the main event because that's not who the fans came to see. And she went berserk, I guess, and decided, I'm actually going to divulge a private conversation that I had in the locker room with all the fans in attendance and attempt to smear the Sandman's career. Very, very, very petty move. She doesn't have to like what he said. And she could tell him in the dressing room, I think that was a very misogynistic thing to say. I think you're an asshole. He has a right to his opinion, too. Here's what you don't have the right to do. You don't have the right to go out there and say, hey, fans, guess what? Your hero who you came to see here just said about women. Things like that do not endear you to people in this business. Trust me. Trust me. So I don't know. Todd, should they give her a shot, or do you think the WWE is just better off forgetting and moving forward?
Well, like you said about Tessa Blanchard, every wrestling company she worked for, Mexico, Impact Wrestling, Women of Wrestling, she don't have a good reputation. She's got a bad reputation with everybody, and if she straighten her act out with everything, yes, I will see. I would love to see her in the WWE, but right now, I don't see that for happening at all.
Yeah, I don't know, Mike. I mean, if you're a Vince McMahon, would you give her that opportunity, or would you say this is just more headache waiting to happen?
Right.
I'd first talk with Tully and have him bring him in and have him, you know, make no bones about it that this is your last chance. If you do anything, and, you know, we know Tully, you know, is not a choir boy, you know. We know that, right?
Right.
But
yeah.
He hasn't done the type of stuff that she has done. We know some of the stuff he's done, but he hasn't done the stuff he's done that she has done, right? So we'll see. I mean, yeah, if he can get it to the point of, you know, this is probably going to be your last chance to be in this sport, in this business, get on a straight and narrow and do it, fine. And she agrees to it, fine. Now, the correct question is will she agree to it?
Yeah, and see, the problem with her is that it's not even like her problem is with the fans. You know what I mean? Her problem is literally with other workers. It's not like, well, she said some bad things on Twitter and fans are upset. No, she's pissed off people in the locker room, people who literally are like, I ain't working with her. That's a problem. That's a big problem. You can fix, you know, your what's the right word for it? Your indiscretions if you said something dumb online or did something dumb online. And the workers are still behind you saying, well, yeah, probably shouldn't have said that, but they're a good worker and they try hard and we like them. They, you know, you can fix that. It's very hard to fix it when the workers are saying, yeah, that's a piece of trash. And I've not heard anybody say anything good about her. Everybody who's had a comment that's a worker on Tessa Blanchard has said she's, you know, she's impossible. So I don't know. She may have burnt all of her bridges behind her. I do not know. I guess we'll find out soon enough because right now she is a free agent, and certainly this is somebody you would have to assume both AEW and WWE would certainly want if they thought her behavioral issues were behind her. So we'll see. Now on to another story. This is kind of funny. Apparently the WWE came out with a list of people who were allowed to get a haircut at the barber that the WWE provides. And some of them were hilarious. Like Ricochet. Ricochet doesn't have any hair. I don't know what... Ricochet, you can go ahead and get a haircut if you want. Well, okay. He doesn't have any. So I don't know why he's on the list. AJ Styles is on the list. I don't know if they're hinting. Maybe they're hinting at AJ. Might be time to trim it. I hope not. I like AJ's hair. Reminds me of mine. But he's on the list. Edge apparently was on the list, and I got to tell you, I'm not a fan of the new haircut. I'm sorry. I know it's a modern haircut. It's new and whatever. I don't like it. Damian Priest was on the list. A few other people are on the list. Now, some people are saying this doesn't mean that the other people can't get a haircut. This just means that these are the people, well, I guess they'll have to pay for it. They can just go to the WWE barber. I didn't know the WWE had one, but apparently they do. I remember when Rusev cut his hair, they went ballistic. That was part of the reason he was punished for a while, because he cut his hair without their permission. And their big claim was, we just sold your licensing rights to a toy company, which I think was, I don't know, Hasbro or Jax or whatever, and they're going to make a Rusev with long hair, and now you don't have long hair. Or we got the video game going, and you don't have any. And by the way, I think Baron Corbin was on the list, too. Baron Corbin has no hair. I don't know whether they put him on as a joke, but Baron Corbin and Ricochet are on the list, and they don't have any hair. So that's interesting, right? So I don't know whether this means you're the only people who are allowed to cut your hair at all, or it means you're the only people that we're going to go ahead and let the barber take care of for free on our time or whatever. I don't know exactly. It's a weird thing, Mike. I never even knew they had such a thing. I did know that you had to have their permission, some people. I did know you had to do that. You can't just arbitrarily say, if you're Edge, you can't arbitrarily say, hey, you know, I showed up Monday and now I have short hair. They don't want that. But I didn't know they actually had a list of people who could and could not.
Wow, I didn't know that either. I mean, look, I know for a fact that what's her name, Rebel, that's with Britt Baker. She does a lot of the makeup and hair for the women in AEW, right?
Right. Yeah.
I've never heard AEW say something like this, With the hair thing, I'm not sure. I mean, look, they let, after we saw that perfect cut of hair that Belair did to Becky, and Becky ended up went and got her hair redone,
right?
They said nothing about they said nothing about that. They said nothing about that. So, you know.
Yeah, well, they definitely had that plan. They definitely had that one planned. They even had Becky supposedly going to cut Bianca's hair first, and then it was reversed. So that was definitely a plan. And then they went with a whole different look, Becky Lynch. So that was definitely planned. But Todd, I reasoned that they had a makeup artist and probably a hairstylist. But I did not realize that there are only certain people on the list. You know, like if Drew Gulak goes in and says, can I get my hair cut? They have the right to say no. That's weird. I didn't know they had something like that.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, with some of these names on this list of people who don't have hair on their haircut list is ridiculous. It's pretty funny too. Like you said, with Ricochet, Happy Baron Corbin. I don't think Jinder Mahal has any hair.
You're on the list, I guess. If they want less hair, I don't know how you can get less. I guess I have to pull it out with tweezers like nerve endings because they don't have any. But I thought it was funny they were on the list. Speaking of Bianca Belair, she made an asinine statement that I want to discuss. She said her match should have been the main event at WrestleMania. That and not Stone Cold. That is ridiculous. That is ridiculous. But unfortunately, it's an absolute crystal clear example of how wrestlers and some fans think nowadays. Bianca Belair's argument is, I had a way better match. So what? It doesn't mean anything. If you think more people were in that arena to see you than there were to see Stone Cold Steve Austin, you have lost your mind. It's not even close. It's not even in the same universe. That would be like a garage band saying there's more people here to see me than Metallica. It's ridiculous. Stone Cold Steve Austin to this day is still one of the top merchandise sellers, one of the top two or three merchandise sellers in the entire WWE. Do you honestly think that more people came to see your match than Stone Cold Steve Austin? That's insanity. That's insanity. And when you say something like that about a legend, that does not endear you. I'm telling you right now, that does not endear you to the locker room. Now, I have no evidence of this, but if you watch Friday Night SmackDown, I'm sure Roman Reigns was kidding when he said he was a bigger star than John Cena, but you've seen how Randy Orton reacted, and Randy Orton didn't sound like he was kidding. And now he could have been. Sure, he likes Roman Reigns. But a lot of wrestlers take umbrage when you say things like that because they put in all the work and they've got that legacy and they don't like it. And for her to say that did her no favors. I'm telling you right now, it did not do her any favors. The right move would be to say, I'm just proud I was on the same card as him. I'm just proud I could be a part of a WrestleMania that a big star like Stone Cold Steve Austin's return was on. That's, you know, obviously everybody take a back seat to that. To have the hubris to literally say, his match was nowhere near as good as mine. I should have main evented. That's ludicrous. And if she really meant it, again, wrestlers will say things because they're in character. If she really meant it, she's an idiot. If she was doing it in character, I'm starting to think she might flip heel, because that's something that a heel character would say, and you'd think that, Mike, that that would be something Bianca Belair should certainly, as her own self, should know better than to say.
Right, and think about this. I mean, in saying this the way she said it, we know what this is headed for, right? This is headed probably for a three-way between Asuka and Becky and Bianca, you know? And if she said this, who do you think they're going to cheer? They're not going to cheer her. They'll likely cheer Asuka. They might cheer Becky Lynch.
Yeah, it's just not good optics. It's not good optics. Now, that's something on Friday night, what Roman Reigns said in character. I'm sure Roman Reigns didn't mean one word of that. But nonetheless, and I'm sure Randy Orton's response wasn't, it wasn't real, but a little bit of it was. Trust me when I tell you, there was a little bit of truth in that pre-planned rebuttal. Little bit of truth in there when he said you're not half the superstar and never will be that John Cena is. A little bit of truth coming out of Randy Orton's mouth. And you saw Roman Reigns kind of smile, and he understands what the deal is, that, you know, you get it. So, yeah, I mean, Bianca Belair should keep her mouth shut. Todd, you can't down legends like this, because it's just she's wrong. Not maybe there were a certain amount of people that came to see her match, but if you're going to tell me that she sold more tickets because she's on the card than Stone Cold Steve Austin, she's got to be nuts.
Well, you're absolutely right there, like you said about Bianca Belair. If she's actually mean what she said, she's a moron for it. You know, if I was her, I was like, you know what? It's a WWE Hall of Famer going to wrestle a WWE current superstar. I'm gonna sit back and watch that main event.
You think you want to enjoy it and say, look, I'm a part of it. I'm a part of the same card. Bianca, here, do me a favor. Go to an autograph signing with Stone Cold Steve Austin. See who has the bigger line. Go sell your merchandise at a show somewhere where Steve Austin's going to appear and see and match up later and say how much you sold compared to how much he sold close. But this is the trouble. I had so many fans say to me, but she was the better match. The better match should always be the main event. No. Where do you get that? Is the better band always the feature band? Anybody listening to Kiss on tour now or Bon Jovi? They sound like crap. Bon Jovi's totally lost his voice. He can't sing on key at all. And Kiss has gotten to the point where they're basically just singing the tapes because they can't sing. Their opening bands are obviously better at this stage, but they're not who people are coming to see. So it doesn't matter. The big sign on the billboards, Bon Jovi or Kiss. It's not your band. And if you go out there and say, well, I'm a much better band than Bon Jovi ever thought about being or is now or Kiss, you're insane. Okay, they're not good now. They're old men. But the bottom line of the situation is they're still famous. They don't have to be that good to attract a huge audience. You do. And you're still not attracting them. At one time, Stone Cold Steve Austin was the number one attraction in the world, just like maybe Kiss was at some point. Maybe Bon Jovi was. I don't know. Their best years are behind them, yeah. But still, if you put their name up on that marquee, they're going to sell a whole lot more tickets than the opening band. So I don't get her philosophy, Mike, and I don't get the wrestling fans' philosophy who think she's right.
I don't get it either, and that's the thing. I mean, this, you know, and she hasn't been around long enough to get away with saying something like that. I mean, if it was somebody like, I don't know, and I'm not excusing it, but if it was somebody that's been around, you know, 10, 15 years, that's 40 years old, sure. You know, I get that. You don't, I get that. Maybe I don't, but I get it. But she hadn't been around that long. And I think this could be the first step in her turning heel. But again, you're right. Stone Cold is the top seller of merchandise in the company, and she's not even close. And to tell you the truth, she's not even a top women's seller. That's Alexa Bliss.
Nope. Absolutely correct. And here's the thing. I'd still say it's wrong, and I'd still say they were wrong. But, I mean, AJ Styles fought Edge. Those two guys are pretty much legends, too. They're maybe not Stone Cold Steve Austin, you know, legends, but they're close. They didn't say it. You know why they didn't say it? Because they're professionals and they understand, yeah, that's whether we put on a better match or not, that's irrelevant. If Stone Cold Steve Austin's glass breaks and he comes through that curtain, that's the attraction. That's the big deal. We could put on an hour-long match that makes people stand up and do flips in their seat. It doesn't matter. When that glass breaks and Austin comes down to that ring, that's the attraction. They know it, by the way. They don't care. Their job is to go out there and put on the best match they can, and that's it. And they did, and, you know, whatever. But it, like Mike said, you could see somebody like that saying it, and you'd still say it was wrong. But at least they'd have something to hang their hat on as far as saying, well, you know, I was a big attraction too, and I'm a top superstar for the last 20 years or whatever. I get that. Or Randy Orton saying it or something. Or even John Cena if he showed up saying it. But none of them would. So why do you think that is? Why do you think the people who really actually did get legendary status to a certain degree, why do you think none of them would say that? Because they fully understand that's not their position. Let's talk a little bit about SmackDown, because I thought it was one of the better ones I've seen in a really long time. And the first thing I want to talk about, which I was absolutely flabbergasted over, is that Ronda Rousey came out, still had a very, very bad use of the mic. She always acts like a bad guy. I don't know why she does it. Somebody's got to call her aside and say, Ronda, please be a good winner. Because she's always like, well, Charlotte Flair may have highlighted WrestleMania, but I made her. You know, she's always got that arrogant about her. It's not good, Ronda. It's not good. But I could not believe when what she called now, Raquel Rodriguez instead of Gonzalez or whatever. Raquel Rodriguez came out. I said, oh, Jesus Christ. They are going to literally throw this woman to the wolves before she ever debuted. My head is going to friggin' explode. You've got a 6'1" woman who can really go in the ring, and you're going to throw her to the goddamn wolves with no buildup whatsoever. And it's going to make my head explode. And I was totally wrong. Ronda Rousey put on a professional wrestling match. You can give all this credit to Charlotte Flair. I'm telling you right now, I don't care if you're one of these Charlotte Flair haters. Charlotte Flair made a professional wrestler out of Ronda Rousey, and I didn't think it could be done. I was on this show saying she's never going to get it. She doesn't have the right ego for it. She doesn't get it. She's too proud. She doesn't sell. It's not going to work, because she's always coming from this point of, I'm a real athlete and you're not. I'm a real fighter and you're not. And she's not getting it, that there's a give and take, that there's a way to sell and there's a way to play the crowd, to get the crowd sympathy and say, oh, I wish Ronda was doing better. She's not doing too good or whatever. you know, it's almost the old Steven Seagal thing where you get sick of watching him because nobody ever challenges him. You're like, oh, all the bad guys just get beaten up in 2 seconds, and he never takes one shot. And you're like, why am I watching a Steven Seagal movie where nobody even fights back? It's dumb. Well, that was Ronda Rousey. This match, she took some serious abuse. And she made Raquel Rodriguez look very, very strong. And she didn't even tap her out. She got a lucky roll up and took it. This was the dawning of a brand new Ronda Rousey who could be a very, very good professional wrestler. And I think, Mike, you can give a whole lot of that credit to Charlotte Flair, who kind of befriended her, took her under her wing, and maybe gave her some advice that she's actually taken to heart finally.
Remember the last time she had a great match? Who was it with before Charlotte Flair? It was with Natty, right? And that was in her first run when she was, I'm this bad, you know, sports person, and I should be winning every match. No, it took her going away, not only going away for a while to have her baby, whatever, but becoming a friend with Charlotte Flair and working with Charlotte Flair to finally the light goes on and she gets it. Now, the whole thing about acting like a heel and doing this and that, that still needs to be worked on, but she gets it. The performance part of it in terms of the ring and making people look good, because she made Raquel Rodriguez look like she belonged in a championship, in that championship match. Yeah, we knew Ronda was going to win it, but you go back and watch that match at any given point, and you're going to say, okay, Raquel's going to win. Raquel's going to win this thing, you know?
Mike, I got to tell you, there was a minute or two where I really did say, Jesus Christ, what's going on? Maybe Ronda's got to leave or something, because I really thought for a minute or two, I said, Jesus, they're going to give it to her. This was outstanding on both people's part. This is what pro wrestling is, where if you're going to do something like this, both people come out looking a little bit better. Ronda Rousey came out looking like, okay, I may be a professional UFC fighter, but wrestling isn't UFC. We don't give each other some of these type of moves in no UFC fight. And they hurt. And they wear me down. And I'm not invincible. I'm not Superwoman. And I'm not always even the favorite. Raquel Rodriguez almost made her look like the underdog. At one point, Pat McAfee says, oh, my God, Ronda Rousey almost pulled off an upset. And I'm saying, what do you mean she pulled off an upset? She's a champion. But that's because it looked like that. Ronda Rousey gave her a ton of offense. And it really looked like at the end of the day, well, if they had another match, it could come out differently. It's very close. Very close. I thoroughly enjoyed this because I'm starting to see the evolution of Ronda Rousey now. For one straight year, when she was in that her first run, I said, she don't get it. She's not ever going to get it. I don't know why, because she has the athletic skills. And she said she was a big Roddy Piper fan and a big fan of wrestling. I don't get why she's not getting it. I don't get why she has Steven Seagal disease. But that's what was happening. I mean, there was an old story where I guess Steven Seagal's working on a movie, and they said, okay, on this point, this is where, like, these five Israeli commandos are going to jump out of the alleyway, and they're going to, you know, kick you around for a minute or two, and then you're going to come back. And he says, wait a minute, they're going to kick me around. Nobody would ever believe it. And I'm saying to myself, five Israeli commandos, and no one would believe that you're getting kicked around? Well, you know, check your ego at the door. That's what Ronda Rousey was. Well, why should I sell to these people? They're not real fighters. These moves aren't real. Now she gets it. I don't know what light came on in her head. But the Ronda Rousey I saw facing Charlotte Flair and the Ronda Rousey I saw facing Raquel Rodriguez is a professional wrestler. It's not a UFC fighter. And finally, I'm saying to myself, I actually care about a Ronda Rousey match. She could put on a good match. Which I never thought I'd say, Todd, but this was a very strong match, I thought, for both people.
Oh, you're absolutely right there, like you said. By the looks of it before, I thought they're going to throw Raquel Rodriguez under the bus for something else, technically, and
totally.
Guess not.
I thought this was going to be a three-minute match where she taps out. And if it was, I was going to say, here we go. Let's throw the whole women's division under the bus for Ronda Rousey. Not the case. So when I'm wrong, I'll tell you I'm wrong. And I was way wrong. Ronda Rousey is now showing she can do it with more than just Charlotte Flair. See, my worry was, all right, she's selling for her friend. She's selling for someone she's close to. That's fine. You know, but will she do it with all the others? Or will she just tap them out in 2 minutes like they're garbage, like she did the first run? No, she's not. She's learned to be a pro wrestler. Now, leave it to the WWE to even ruin this, though. Because then backstage, we have the two, we have Shotzi and Aaliyah arguing about whether it should be their title shot. They were tapped out in no time during the Beat the Clock challenge. Why in the hell would either one of these women think that they deserved a title shot? Both of these women, their characters, shouldn't deserve a title shot. Far from it. Ahead of Raquel Rodriguez, I don't care if she just came in. At least she didn't lose. So, yeah, that was kind of dumb on the WWE's part. Now something else smart. This new Sami Zayn gimmick is going somewhere. I firmly believe it. I don't know exactly where it's going, but it's going somewhere. Now, these are branches on the tree, and this is what I've always talked about on this show since the very first episode. And I think it's a phrase we coined on this show. Branches on the tree mean there's different ways a storyline can go. It can branch out at any time, and if you're climbing that tree, you never really know what direction it's going to happen. That's good writing. Sami Zayn could turn face, I suppose. Sami Zayn could cost the Usos or Roman Reigns. Maybe the bloodline turns face. I don't know. There's an awful lot of things that could happen, but something is going to happen. And Sami Zayn, and again, I'm not a big Sami Zayn fan. I'm not a fan of him personally. I'm not a fan even of his ring work. But he's doing an outstanding job of playing this character, which is a guy who clearly sees, and again, I'll give the WWE credit. They understood that this Johnny Knoxville match destroyed Sami Zayn's credibility. After it was done, I think they reviewed it and said this was a mistake. Because how does anybody ever take him seriously when he lost to Johnny Knoxville? We probably should have handled this differently. And so now the writers were clever enough to say, let's clearly show that he has no credibility. And he's desperately trying to get it back. And the best way to get that credibility back is to be an ass kisser for the bloodline, even though they don't want him. Even though they're using him as a fool. Useful idiot. But the useful idiot is sometimes not that useful. That's actually a pretty good storyline. And again, I don't know where it's going. I thought I knew where it was going when Randy Orton said, how about you have a match with Riddle, and if we win, we get the unification match we want. I thought, uh-oh, that's where it's going to go. Riddle's going to win, and Roman Reigns and Paul Heyman are going to say, since when does Sami Zayn speak for us? But it didn't happen. Adam Pearce came out and nixed all that. So I'm not sure where this is going, but it's going somewhere, and I'm finding myself actually interested in this, Mike.
I am finding myself interested in it, and the fact of the matter is I think, you know, whatever heel credibility he had, I think it went down the drain with the Knoxville match. And the fact of the matter is, if that heel credibility is down the drain, where else can you put him? What else can you do with him to get maybe try and get some credibility back, and is to flip him. And by the way, I want to see the rematch between Rodriguez and Rousey. I want to see that rematch.
So do I. So do I. Now, Derek's saying, I do not believe that Sami Zayn belongs anywhere near a Bloodline storyline. I would normally agree with you, but I'm curious where this is going, because I'm sure the WWE also knows. We're very clear now that Sami Zayn is not going to be a main event wrestler. He's lower mid-card. And they know he's lower mid-card. And he's certainly never going to be elevated anywhere near what the Bloodline is. But that's the point. They need a peon who is so desperate, because he knows he's a peon, that he's willing to suck up an ass kiss to try to get even a little taste of the success that the Bloodline has. That's a fascinating storyline, and one that bears true, because it's logical. After his loss to Johnny Knoxville, a guy like Sami Zayn, character-wise, probably would feel like, my career went down the drain, I am no longer considered a viable threat to anyone, I've lost all of my credibility, how do I get it back in the quickest possible manner? And that is to align myself with the people who have the most credibility. How do I do this? And the answer is, I guess I have to be their errand boy. I guess I have to be their, little go-between. And maybe, just maybe, they'll throw me a bone. But you can clearly see that Paul Heyman knows what he is. So something's up. And so I'm not so quick to say I'm not going to be invested in this storyline. Now, if tomorrow they say Sami Zayn's a part of the Bloodline, then yes, it's crapola and you've blown the whole thing. But I don't think that's where it's going. I'm not 100% sure where it's going. But that's the beauty of this storyline, is I really don't know where this is going. You're right, it doesn't make sense for a guy like Sami Zayn to be involved in a Bloodline storyline, and that's what the intriguing part is. I don't know what they can possibly accomplish from it, but there must be something on the table. So, I mean, we'll wait and see. Todd, I'm thinking that, this is going to lead to something bigger. Maybe not involving Sami Zayn directly, but involving him in some way to lead to a bigger storyline between other characters.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said about this whole thing, Sami Zayn lost his old credibility to Johnny Knoxville. Maybe this is like a repackage for Sami Zayn to try to save his in-ring career, doing something different, like a little better angle with him. Like you said, this could be like a face turn for Sami Zayn or the Bloodline as well.
One thing for sure is he's a good talker, and he's a relatively good actor. So you may as well use him where you can. And he's an adequate wrestler. The reason I don't like him, the reason I'm not a big fan, is A, I think that his performances in WWE have all been very, he's not a wrestler who does a good five-minute match. Sami Zayn's a guy, if you want to give me 20 minutes with Cesaro, that'll be a great match. You want to give him 5 minutes, it's, Blue Thunder Bomb and all, we get it. We get the five moves you're going to do. His strength right now is in his character. And it could just potentially be that this sneaky, conniving, underhanded, I'll do anything to scratch my way to the top guy, coming into contact with a Paul Heyman, who's also sneaky and conniving and will do anything to get his people to the top, might collide. Spell some kind of disaster for the Bloodline. And that's what I'm intrigued about, Mike, is the interaction mostly, and they've kept it this way, the interaction mostly between Sami Zayn and Paul Heyman.
Right. And think about this. I mean, we're talking about what it could lead to. I mean, there's another branch on this tree. I mean, I know Vince has said no, but it could somehow be worked into, at some point, Naomi going with him. And plus, there's people don't know, a lot of people don't know this, but there's a fourth Uso, there's a fourth member of the Bloodline that's down in NXT right now, and that's the Uso's younger brother.
Yep. Well, I think Vince McMahon has softened a little on the Naomi thing. I'm hearing that that's probably going to happen at some point. They're just not sure when. Because Roman Reigns is basically being given a contract that people are now saying is kind of similar to Brock Lesnar, where he's not going to be – I think even this week he wasn't there. I think that the interaction that we saw between the Usos and Roman Reigns backstage was taped ahead of time. I guarantee you Roman Reigns was not in that arena. He did come in for the one thing, right? But they didn't show the clip until later on. So what I think is he was there late, but he didn't shoot that segment there. He shot the last segment where they came in and said, you can do what you want. If you want to challenge him for the unification, fine. That was done live, but I don't think that backstage thing was done live, and I don't think it was even done that day. Because there were things they brought up that I'm like, well, there were other better things to bring up. Why didn't you bring up what he said about this or that? It felt very strongly like it was a pre-written, pre-recorded segment so that Roman Reigns could just get into the arena and get out. And I think that's exactly what happened. I think you're going to see more of that. In other words, he could do a month's worth of little segments with the Usos backstage. If you said, okay, we're going to do this segment where the Usos run into, I don't know, Drew McIntyre, and Drew McIntyre says X, Y, and Z, so you just say, what was that about with Drew McIntyre? I don't know, man, he's just that and the other thing. Well, you could tape that ahead of time, and that don't happen for 3 weeks, and then you play that tape like Roman Reigns was in the locker room. They do that all the time. They just shoot it out of order. Because Roman Reigns' contract is that he's not going to be around for every pay-per-view. And while he is going to appear on television, they're not necessarily saying he's going to appear live on television. They're not necessarily saying he's going to be in the arena, in the ring. He will be sometimes. But it's looking like through most of this summer, we're going to see very little. Now, since that his match at WrestleMania, Roman Reigns hasn't done a lot of matches. He did that, six-man tag match where he was in it for a certain amount of time, but he hasn't done a lot. He's done some house shows with Drew McIntyre, and he's going to continue to do some of those bigger shows like the Saudi show, and I think they're at that castle show that they're doing in the UK, he's going to be there. Those big events he's going to be at. But he's not going to do any regular house shows, and I think he's going to do limited television, and I don't think he's going to be on every pay-per-view because, as far as I know, he is not scheduled to be a Hell in a Cell. There's no match for Roman Reigns at Hell in a Cell yet, and I don't think there's going to be. So I think he's given maybe a little less than Brock Lesnar as far as time off. But it's a Brock Lesnar-type contract where he has a certain amount of dates as opposed to you showing up every week. Whether we have something major for you or not, you got to be here. That's gone. Those days are gone. That's how important Roman Reigns is right now to this company. And to be honest with you, it's true. Whether you like Roman Reigns or you don't, what's this company got to hang their hat on if it's not Roman Reigns right now? Where's the massive superstar? Well, Randy Orton, but I mean, Randy Orton's getting older. Where's that massive superstar that everyone's going to flock to see? He's not there. And the WWE better start building somebody up because Roman Reigns has clearly said, I don't know how much longer I'm going to do this. And I knock on wood that Roman Reigns never has another recurrence of his leukemia ever again. But folks, it could happen. And if it does, then what the hell is the WWE going to do? They better worry about that. These are not things to take lightly and just say, you cross the bridge when we come to it. No. You'd be flat on your ass. If Roman Reigns tomorrow said, screw this, I'm retiring, or I'm not doing this anymore, or I got injured and I'm out for 6 months, I don't know what to tell you. don't know what to tell you. You're in trouble. Big trouble. So that's how much he means to the Federation. Aside from that, Mike, I mean, I guess we're going to see. I'm hearing that we may be seeing the return of Brock Lesnar pretty soon. Phone not working here. Let me try it again. Okay, there you go.
It makes sense to me because if he's not going to be there and we're not ready to bring Seth Rollins back up right now, I mean they're slow playing this whole flip with Seth Rollins and possibly building him up again. So if they're not ready to do that right now, then who else is there to bring? You know?
I know. It's a problem. It's an absolute problem. Now, there's some people saying, well, when John Cena's name was raised, that means John Cena might be coming back. The WWE, I know they are hanging their hat on getting The Rock for WrestleMania. Maybe it's already a done deal. I don't know. But they know they got to limp Roman Reigns to WrestleMania next year. And what are you going to do? You're going to wrestle him every single pay-per-view? How many contenders do you have for him? You don't even have enough contenders to limp him through that many months. You technically have to have what? Like 10 contenders, right? You have a pay-per-view or a premium live event a month. So you'd have to have like 10 contenders. You don't have two. You've got Drew McIntyre and maybe Cody Rhodes, and that's it. Seth, if you want to do something quick with him, but that's 3 months worth of storylines. That's nowhere close to WrestleMania. And my assumption is going to be that if it's true that he's not going to be around for a long period of time as far as how many shows he's on, one of those belts is going to get dropped. I don't know how they're going to do it because he sort of just said, well, when I defend it, I'm defending both. But they could change that in a heartbeat, obviously. Now, Nakamura showed back up and basically called Sami Zayn the table's ass, which I don't understand. I never knew that a table had an ass, but okay. I'm not interested in a Sami Zayn-Nakamura feud. Not interested at all. We also had a weird segment where Drew Gulak ran into Ricochet, who basically tried to give him a rah-rah talk and said, oh, if I gave up, I wouldn't be where I am today. Well, I don't know where you are. I mean, we barely even see you. Well, you're right. The next time I see Gunther, I'm going to give him a piece of my mind, to which Gunther basically just destroys him again. I don't know where this is going. I don't know where it's going. I don't want to see a feud between these two because it's pointless. Drew Gulak is being used as a preliminary wrestler. So building up a preliminary wrestler to feud with a guy I assume you want to make a main event wrestler is worthless. Now, some people have suggested, and it may be true, that he's going to just tear through Drew Gulak on his way to Ricochet and winning that belt. That's possibly where they're going with it. If that's the case, I guess I'm for it, because Ricochet's not going to be doing anything with it. Somebody like Gunther could, I suppose. But spending a lot of time, as much as I like Drew Gulak, and believe me, I've seen him on the indies, he's fun, he's a great wrestler, he's good on the mic. He's got all the tools, but they're not using them. And to waste a lot of TV time on a squash match, which apparently that's what it would be, seems a little foolish to me, Mike, even if you are on your way to a championship match with Ricochet.
It really does, and tell you the truth, he's one of these guys that Gulak is one of these guys that probably could stand with a change, you know, probably maybe send him down to NXT, or if anything, you know, I would go ahead and cut him and let him go and find someplace else to work that will use him.
Yeah, and I hate to bring up bad things, speaking of cutting, but the word I had is that the 15th would be the date that we might see more cuts. So let's see what tomorrow brings in the WWE. I'm hoping, fingers crossed, that they've decided we're not going to do it. But that's what I heard. I heard more cuts were coming. Now, I don't know if they're all going to be NXT or there's going to be some in the WWE. I don't know. But I'm looking at their roster now, and I'm saying, I don't know who you cut. Who is it that you're going to cut from the WWE's roster currently? You finally are kind of using everybody. I mean, I guess you could cut Cedric Alexander, although it seems like he's trying to get a storyline going in some way with MVP. I guess Shelton Benjamin, but he's just tweeted that I'm hurt and my injury is not that severe. I'll be back soon, better than ever. Okay, well, then he doesn't think he's being cut. He hasn't been given any reason to think so. You're not going to cut Drew Gulak if he's somehow just on TV looking as if he's going to be in a feud with Gunther. Ricochet's got a belt. Madcap Moss is obviously involved in an angle where I guess he's going to be out for a little while, but I don't think they're taking him out. I don't think they'd release him. Obviously, there's an angle here. Another Baron Corbin, or maybe Baron Corbin, because did you notice how Corbin wasn't dressed in his usual happy Corbin stuff? So we might see a return to Baron Corbin. I don't know who you'd let go. Some people have said the Viking Raiders. Some people have said the Viking Raiders are on the chopping block. Well, you don't have a lot of tag teams. So I don't know if I'd put the Viking Raiders on the chopping block. You need every team you can get. Some people have said Bobby Roode. I think that's a mistake. It's a veteran. You always can use a veteran. I don't see a lot of people. I really don't. They might let Rick Boogs go. I don't know. If his injury is that severe, they might just say, you know what, 6 months. We don't really have that much use for you in 6 months. He might be somebody. But I don't see anybody dramatic. I don't see a big name where we're like, oh, my God. Because I can't think of one name, Mike, that would be considered expendable.
Right. And sure it's not as hell going to look. Let Nakamura go, because we can see a future for Nakamura, a definite future. Now, will they choose that future for Nakamura? I'm not sure, but there is a definite future for Nakamura. And basically, we've talked about this before. Nakamura is happy there; doesn't have to work hard, can do what he wants. You know, whatever. It doesn't matter if he wins or loses to him. You know, it matters to us, but it doesn't matter to him. So he's happy there. When why would you cut somebody that would be happy there, happy working for you? You know, that thing. And Shelton Benjamin, Bailey tweeted and wished him well. You know, so yeah.
Okay. Ted sent me a message saying, what about Humberto and Garza? We haven't seen them for a while. Good point. That's a good point. They might be on the chopping block because they tried with this whole Lotharios thing and Lethal Lotharios thing or whatever the hell it was called, and then they just became cannon fodder and they lost to Ricochet, and we haven't really seen him since. Boy, that would be, I got to tell you, that would be a huge, colossal, gigantic mistake. If you can't find a place in your company for Angel Garza, then I don't know what to tell you. Humberto, well, he's a great wrestler, but I understand he doesn't have that charisma. He doesn't have that mic skill yet. He doesn't really have the whatever you might want to call it, that extra whatever that Angel Garza has, but still, as much as you're in need of tag teams, I wouldn't pull the trigger on that. I would not pull the trigger on that. But you're right. We haven't seen them in a while, Ted, and you're right. They would be people who I could see potentially being on the chopping block, yes. And also, yes, Jinder Mahal, and they're not doing anything with Jinder Mahal. Jinder Mahal and Shanky, or what's his name, Shanky? Yeah, Jinder Mahal and Shanky, they're not doing anything with him. Again, if you, the guy's 7 foot tall. You can do something with Almost, but you can't do something with Shanky. Shanky, if you remember right, took like 400 chair shots from Drew McIntyre. And I thought to myself at the time, that's going to endear him to the WWE because he's willing to take that much abuse to get Drew McIntyre over. They might see a future in that and say, you know what, he's a team player. We'll see what we can do with this guy. He's a giant. But they have done nothing with him. Absolutely nothing. And I see no future for Jinder either. So, yeah, I guess there are a couple of them, Todd, but I'd hate to see them go because I think they have potential.
Oh, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, one of the other guys we haven't seen in a while was Apollo Crews and his commander, Z, too. And we haven't seen him in a while either. And
That's a good point. That's a good one, Todd. You're absolutely – I did not think about him. You're right. I don't see anything there for him at all. For a while, they were pushing Aziz as a guy that, oh, nobody wants to fight him, and then they just threw him to Almost, and that was it. That's an excellent point. Excellent point. Now, Derek's saying, what about Bailey? I mean, she's never coming back. Yeah, I don't think they'll release her because she was hurt, and I don't necessarily think somebody with that big of a name they'd want to release before she's back from an injury because that looks poor. Look what they did with Paige. I mean, she's still hanging on. When the hell? What's the last time you've seen Paige do anything? And she's still on the goddamn payroll. So, I don't know. I don't know. But Todd just came up with a really good one. I did not think about Apollo Crews. Mike, yeah, they're not doing anything with him or Aziz. That really could be two people that were on the chopping block.
Absolutely, and you're right about Bailey. I mean, you know what's going to happen when they eventually bring her back. She's going to get cheered, and it's going to be loud. Hey, she's going to blow the roof off the place when they bring her back. You know that's going to happen, right? And they know it's going to happen. And that would be a perfect time to bring her back in the whole hug her or whatever, you know, thing that she was doing at the time. Have her grow her hair back out and whatever, extensions, whatever, and bring her back. People are going to want to cheer her, right? You know?
It's writing malpractice if they don't bring Bailey back as a face. Because you're right. She's going to blow the roof off the building. And if they were really smart and they were really good writers, they would bring Bailey back in the next couple of weeks with her hair back to normal, coming out to her old music and everything, but not looking quite so happy. And then saying, after a long period of rethinking my life and rethinking all the things I did, I realized that I ruined my own career. The only thing I ever wanted to do this for was for the fans. And because I was a fan. And I know what it was like to sit in that audience and watch the superstars and always wanted to be one. And then I became one, and I was still a fan. And somewhere I lost my way. And I did all these things, and the fans all hated me, and I didn't care. And I thought the only thing that matters is to get ahead at all costs. And I basically ruined myself. So I'm here to announce my retirement. I had to think long and hard about it. I'm not hurt. I wasn't hurt for a long time. The WWE kept asking me to come back. I kept saying no because I needed time to think about what I wanted to do, and this is what I want to do. Then you have somebody come out and call her a coward. Then you have somebody come out and say, yeah, you're taking your ball and going home, aren't you, Bailey? Well, good, because we never needed you here to begin with. Beat her ass. Send her out for a week or two, and then bring her back and see what you got. See what you got when that music hits. And she said, I want to thank these people because I was this close to hanging my boots up forever until you did what you did. And now I realize I didn't lose the fans. I lost myself a little bit, but I didn't lose the fans. And now I'm back. I understand what I am. I understand who I am, and I'm here to stay. You would see an entirely different approach to Bayley, Mike, and I think you would have one big, huge women's face in her for a long time.
Right, and you could very easily, at that point, yeah, you want Ronda as a face, but she's not, after they take your advice and do that, Bayley's going to be the face of the WWE Women's Division, as long as Charlotte's not there, right? She's going to be the face of the Women's Division, probably even when Charlotte gets back if they take your advice. And look, we said it before, when they first brought her up, we looked at her and we saw, okay, she could be the female John Cena. She could absolutely be that, still be that.
Yes, because the fans would forgive her in that storyline if she said, my career was kind of spiraling, I wasn't going anywhere, and I realized I was hanging on by a thread. I realized I wasn't doing well. And what did I do? Instead of staying true to myself, I turned my back on everybody, including all the fans. I let myself down. I let you guys down. And if I was a real wrestler, if I was somebody that belonged in this ring, then I wouldn't have done that. And I always promised myself, if I become that sort of a person, I'm just getting out, so I'm getting out. Fans would love that. Then if she gets attacked or there's provocation for her to come back, for her to say, well, that's the motivation I needed. You should have left me alone because I was this close to hanging him up. And now you got a bigger problem because now I'm not. That would fly with the fans, I'm telling you. Will the WWE do it? No, they'll probably bring her back as a heel because the WWE doesn't like these type of storylines. Now, to be fair, the WWE may be onto something when they say this new breed of fans, the current fans we have, a good amount of them don't want long storylines, because I'm hearing constantly from fans, I'm so over the bloodline. What do you mean you're over the bloodline? The story's just, it's still playing itself out. I don't know how you can be over it. What kind of patience do you have? You'd be the people that back in the heyday would say, I'm so over the Freebirds and the Von Erichs. What are you talking about? I'm so over Dusty Rhodes and Ric Flair. What? You know, you can't live in that kind of world in pro wrestling. I like these long-term things. Let them play out. Don't rush them. There's much more of this bloodline storyline to come. Let's keep it going. I'm liking where it's going. Yeah, you know, there are dips in it where you say, okay, it's kind of boring right now, or oh, it's not as good as it was right now, but then it comes back. There's going to be that. Every storyline has that. No storyline can stay hot for years. But this one has a lot of potential still. There's an awful lot to come. So I'm not ready to hang it up just yet, Mike, but again, you know, the WWE takes a look at some of these sites that fans give their opinion, and right away they're saying, see, fans have no patience. We have to do things quickly. We have to wrap up feuds in 2 or 3 weeks. And that's exactly, in my opinion, what's holding them back. Let these fans go if they don't like it, because these guys are just, yeah, there's a lot of them giving their opinion online, but I don't think they're the majority. I just think they're the people who talk the loudest.
Right, and if they're lying their asses off, because think about it. Every time the Bloodlines music hits, the roof blows off the place.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely. Yes.
You're telling me that the fans are on the tired of the Bloodline every time that happens.
Yeah, I don't think they're the majority. I just think they're the loudest. Sometimes, you know, I've always made the comparison to a restaurant. You go on Yelp and you see like 3 bad reviews. Well, okay, and you say, oh, this restaurant must suck. There's 3 bad reviews. Yeah, because the only people who write are the people who are dissatisfied. Nobody ever comes off a great meal and says, I think I'll go right on the computer and say it's wonderful. They just say, oh, this is great. I'm going back again. It's only the people who are pissed off. So you can't even go by that anymore. And I think that's the way it is with some of the wrestling universe, is people don't want to say anything positive. We've been accused of the same thing on this show. I've had people say, when are you going to say something positive? Well, when something positive happens. What did I just say about Ronda Rousey? I said, this is a huge step forward. If she can continue this and really is committed for the next, you know, till next WrestleMania in being this type of a champion, you're going to see some really good matches. She's evolved a lot. So that's a positive. I think that Walter as a one of the secondary champions could be a positive move. The problem with him, twofold problem with him is, one, in for some bizarre reason, you told him he has to lose weight. I don't know why. He looked far more intimidating when he was heavier. Now he just looks like a really tall, thin guy with a mean face. Before, he looked like a dude who would tear your head off. Second, he's not good on the mic. He actually does need somebody there with him because he's not good on the mic. But even if he's not, you still got something pretty good, I think, here if you play your cards right with him. The Sami Zayn thing, I think this is a positive. Something's up, and it's making me at least curious enough to say, I'll pay attention when he's on the screen, because before I didn't. Even the Elias thing is interesting, because you know something's coming to that. There's no way he's going to be Ezekiel for the rest of his career. Something is coming of this. Otherwise, you wouldn't give it this much time with Kevin Owens saying, I'm going to prove this no matter what I have to do. Something's coming. Now, my assumption is Elias is going to return. But maybe not. I don't know. But I'm curious enough now. They're handling it the right way. When it first happened, I said, oh, God. You're not going to bring him back without a beard and call him Ezekiel and make pretend Elias didn't exist, are you? Because if you're going to do that, that is just absolutely not going to work. But then I began to see when they did the thing with Kevin Owens saying, that's not Ezekiel, that's Elias. I'm saying, okay, they're mentioning the name Elias, so that's not what they're doing. Or they'd never mention that name again. They're doing something else. And I'm curious because I'm not sure 100% where it's going to go. But I know it's going to go somewhere. So there's a lot of positive things right now in the WWE, Mike. They're starting to pick up the storylines a little better.
They really are. And look, you know, another positive is when they do decide to bring Bayley back. Because we know right now Charlotte's on an indefinite leave, right?
Yes.
So they need... They probably need Bayley to come back. Yeah, you got Bianca, and yeah, you got what's-her-name. But right now, who with those two women, who's going to face them? Who, I mean, Sasha's in the tag team right now. So is Naomi. Now, I mean, we know we see where this whole Naomi thing is going to go. They're probably going to break – Sasha and Naomi are going to break up at some point, and they're going to put the bloodline thing on turbocharge, putting her in the bloodline. But that's coming, but not – they're slow playing this Sasha Banks-Naomi thing. But like I said, other than Sasha Banks, you know, Naomi is not, you know, and maybe Alexa Bliss. But other than Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss, who are the contenders for either title? Well, Becky Lynch. Other than that, who are the contenders for the two women's titles? Not Bayley.
Yeah, no, you're right. They brought back Alexa Bliss, and I think that's another positive because I was told originally Alexa Bliss will be coming back this week, and she's going to do her old goddess character. And I said, oh, Jesus. So all of this thing with the psychiatrist and the Lily doll and everything else, that was all for nothing. But when she came back, she had the doll. And I said, okay, well, now that's a smart move because now you've hedged your bets. Now as a writer, you've said, well, we're not going to throw that character completely under the bus. Let's see where this goes. If she doesn't do so well as this goddess thing and the merchandise starts slowing down, we can flip it because that doll's still a part. That's a smart move. They're starting to make smarter moves, which is a good thing. It's long overdue. And we even see it with the 24/7 belt where we're saying nobody really cares about it and it's dumb and they're just running around doing stupid things. But now you're starting to say, well, but I do care about some of the people involved in it. That's a smart move too. You have to engage your audience so they care about the characters. I don't care if they're doing five-star matches. If your audience cares about the character, that's three-quarters, if not more, of the battle. And the WWE is starting to show signs of that. Now, could they do a little better? Yeah. You got to get somebody to tell Ronda Rousey to be a good winner. I know Ronda Rousey doesn't want to throw UFC under the bus. I know you're not going to get Ronda Rousey to say anything negative about the UFC or say that wrestling's tougher or anything else. But she should at some point at least acknowledge these women are fantastic athletes. And if, you know, this is not a cakewalk for me. Maybe even acknowledge I came in the first time with a chip on my shoulder. I came in here thinking, well, I'm a UFC champion. I've been called the baddest woman on the planet. And I should be able to steamroller everybody in my way. And I'm beginning to realize now this is a different world for me. And I'm not steamrolling through any of these people. They know what they're doing. They've been doing this for a long time, much longer than me. And I'm in their world. That at least would make fans say, okay, well, she's getting it now. She's getting, I'm a face and I have to act like a face. I'd at least like to hear that. As far as the other angles go, well, listen, you know, the Women's Tag Team Championship, you don't have any women's tag teams. It's always just one contender. And then they break up, and then there's another contender, and then they break up. You don't have a women's tag team division. So my suggestion to you is drop the belts, or if you don't want to drop the belts because you're afraid of being called misogynistic, start putting together a lot more tag teams and unify it and just say we're having, well, they did unify it. There's only one tag team championship for the women, but you're going to have to get more women's teams that are solid teams. Not just throwing two women together that, well, did we use her in the last, no, okay, you were a tag team. I don't like that booking. And truthfully, that is being, that is slighting women. That is slighting the women's division. Because you're not even giving them contenders. You're just saying, oh, we're just throwing two women randomly together, and that's your contenders for this month. Next month, it'll be you and you. And you'll go out and challenge. That's dumb. When's the last time we saw a women's tag team match that wasn't involving the champions? To see who's going to be the number one contenders for that. We do that all the time on with the men's division. We don't have enough. So we'll see where they go with that. The Women's Tag Team Championship storyline is my least favorite right now because there's just nothing, there's nothing there. Absolutely nothing to recommend. But aside from that, I thought SmackDown was really good. I enjoyed SmackDown this week. Probably more than I have the last 2 months. Now, the ending, you know, it is what it is. Do I honestly think that there's going to be a unification match next Friday? Well, they're going to put one on. Do I think there's going to be an actual unification? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. They're not going to do this before a pay-per-view anyway. They're doing this for ratings, but this title is not going to be unified next week. You're going to get some kind of a rip-off ending. It might involve Sami Zayn, I don't know. But you're going to get some sort of a rip-off ending. So, I mean, we got to be prepared for that as fans, Mike. We can't logically think we are getting unified champions next week.
Yes. Yeah, we got to be prepared for that, and that's the thing. Look, I'll say this: if you wanna take a good step toward getting a contender, you know, getting some tag teams in there, talk to the Iconics, you know, bring them back, bring back Sarah Logan, you know, and put her with Liv Morgan, you know,
Morgan.
Do that. That would help.
The Iconics announced their retirement from actual professional wrestling. It's a shame because I will tell you this. Were they the best, in the ring? No. But they had a lot of potential and a lot of untapped potential that if you really did the right thing with them, you could have had something with them. But you're right. You need more women's tag teams. I mean, how can you have a tag team division when you only have two tag teams? And it seems like that's always the case. It's always the champions and whoever's the number one contenders at the moment. We don't even know if we have Nikki Cross and Doudrop because it looks like they've broken up or they're what? I don't know. But even if we do have them, they lost. So they're not the flavor of the week. They're not going to be a contender. So what do we got? See, I don't think you're using everyone to their full potential. Doudrop's not my favorite in this women's division. But for her size and her ability, you could make her bigger than you made her. You could simply have Nikki, ASH, go back to Nikki Cross. And you could give her a really big push as maybe a heel who just literally lost her mind. It still fits in with the superhero thing. Because you could easily say, you know, the announcer could easily say, well, this woman is nutty as squirrel poop. First she thought she was a superhero. Now she's deranged. Look what she's become. She's lost it. She's gone. She's out there. And, yeah, that would work. You're really not using them to any degree that you should be using them to. These are two quality wrestlers that you can use for bigger and better things that you're just kind of saying, well, we need a tag team, and I guess we're going to do this. And it's good enough for a couple weeks, and then I guess we'll break you up. And I don't know where you're going with that. That's got to stop because the women's tag team division is zilch. Let's face it. It's actually not even a division. It's just whoever the champions are and whoever we can throw together. You also got to start getting Ricochet around and on television a little bit more. Is he not one of your champions? Why is he doing a backstage segment with Drew Gulak? Maybe it's because he's going to eventually fight Gunther, but if that's the case, then there's nothing more for Ricochet either. I mean, Ricochet right now should be performing every single week, showing everybody, wow, he's a great athlete and everything. If you're going to be building this up toward this, instead of being backstage giving advice to Drew Gulak, you should be in the ring showing people, yeah, I'm the real deal. That would be a hell of a lot better to build this feud with Gunther if that's where you're going, Todd. But WWE, I guess, doesn't see it that way.
Well, you're absolutely right there. Like you said, like you and Mike said, we need tag teams, especially in the women's division. Like you said, we need we don't know what kind of they did this for women together. Like you said, they should bring Sarah Logan back to the WWE. The team with Liv Morgan as a tag team.
I'd love to see it. They don't have to call themselves the Riot Squad. They can call themselves something else. But everyone will remember. Everyone will remember. And it would be a good tag team. And it would be a really good thing for Liv Morgan because I'm not sure, but things ain't looking good for her. I mean, they've rose her to the top a little bit and then dropped her, rose her to the top again, dropped her. I don't know where her career's going from here. So this would be a good move for her if Sarah Logan's ready. Now, the last time we saw Sarah Logan, she didn't look ready. At the Royal Rumble, she looked like she was a little out of shape and not quite ready, but she's been taking different gigs for minor federations to work the ring rust out. So my assumption is that she wants to return to professional wrestling. And if that's the case on a full-time basis, you'd obviously be great if she was with her husband. So you got the inroads there. Like AEW is not going to sign her over WWE if her husband's sitting there, right? You wouldn't think. So we'll see where this goes. One last thing we want to talk about is this in the AEW is there's now this, I guess, back and forth between CM Punk and Eric Bischoff. And I don't know if CM Punk means anything he says anymore. I'm not a CM Punk fan. I don't think he's anywhere near as intelligent as he thinks he is. I don't think he's anywhere near as focused on wrestling as opposed to just getting himself over as he thinks he is. But I heard Eric Bischoff clearly explain in what I thought was a very articulate way the difference between the WWE and AEW. And it was very much like we were saying. He's basically alluding to the WWE are superstars. They're not necessarily wrestlers. Yes, they wrestle, but that's not their main focus, is to make them a superstar. In AEW, their main focus is to be a wrestler. It's two different worlds. Now, having said that, a very interesting thing happened. MJF, who almost never breaks character. I can't remember the last time I've seen him, even on an interview, break character. Totally broke character and said, one of my best friends, Cody Rhodes, was so considerate that he actually offered my parents tickets to SmackDown when they were in, I think, Long Island or wherever. And they couldn't go, unfortunately, because they had, you know, some other previous plans, but I absolutely appreciate it. And, you know, it shows what a class act he is. And mentioned that, like, Cody had a baby or something, said his adorable baby and, you know, all my best to Cody and everything. He almost never does that. Cody Rhodes is the first chip, I think, in getting MJF to the WWE. I'm almost guaranteeing, because that really is a really good friend of MJF. And if Cody Rhodes is saying, come on over here and I'll take care of you, I don't think you got a prayer of signing MJF. I don't think you have a prayer. And I think this is maybe the first sign of it, Mike, because I've not seen MJF break character like this basically since I knew who he was.
Absolutely, and that's the thing. I mean, and they're going to have to if they have no shot, then think about it. He's young. I don't want to say he's the Miz, but the Miz is 40 years old. MJF is in his mid-20s, you know? So
yes,
you could, you know, we've been waiting to see a Miz-MJF feud. That would be a money feud, you know. Oh, and one other thing, Marcus, I've watched the last few episodes of Power, and
okay,
tell you the truth, Velvet Sky is doing a fine job as the commentator, because every time that Matt Cardona comes out, I mean, it's very obvious she does not like him or anybody that's associated with him. That includes his wife, Chelsea Green.
I mean,
on this week's episode, she flat out said, I like you as a person, Chelsea. I just don't like who you marry. She flat out said that, and that's good commentary. That's good. That's doing, and that was even when they had Medusa as part of the commentary team instead of Tim Storm, you know. But that's
something else about NWA Power too, is that I recently saw, I guess Tyrus has written a book, and on his life. And he was on a news program, and they showed WWE clips of him being Brodus Clay. And he brought it – they didn't show NWA clips. They showed WWE clips. And he even brought it up and said, wow, you guys actually paid the royalty fee to show the WWE, because I know they charge for that. That's impressive. I thought that was interesting. And I'm saying to myself, is it possible – now, I know he's older now, and they probably don't want to use him full-time in a ring. But is it possible that his newfound fame on a news organization has brought him to a place where the WWE might say, you know, you're pretty famous now on your own. Maybe we could use you. Now, that could be good or bad. Tyrus might say no, because where he's at right now, I'm sure he's making a decent deal of money, and I don't think the WWE would let him do both. I don't think he'd be a commentator anymore, at least not a full-time one. if the WWE did anything with him. But it's interesting, Mike, to think that Tyrus may have made such a big name for himself that the WWE might indeed look upon him and say, maybe we could use him as an announcer, maybe a manager, a part-time wrestler here and there. It's not impossible.
Well, I mean, look, think about this. Coming down to the end of his career, JBL is basically doing the same thing. He was on Fox for a good bit of time, and he was still doing his thing in the WWE. So, yeah,
that's true.
It's been precedent that in this – and he was an Ula wrestler. So there's been – the WWE, there's a precedent that has already been set in this matter.
Yeah, it's interesting. I'm just wondering because maybe they just said this is where he was at his greatest fame, so we'll get him when he was in the WWE. Everybody knows the WWE, and maybe everybody doesn't know NWA Power. But I just thought it was interesting they showed a WWE clip. And he had an interesting look on his face when they did, like, you know, yeah, he's showing the WWE clip. So we'll keep an eye on that, too. NWA Power, by the way, has been doing an excellent job. They're still one of those. Now, I know that Billy Corgan's going out on tour with Smashing Pumpkins, so I don't know what the hell's going to be happening there. I'm sure he's got somebody filling in for him that'll do a good job. NWA Power has been doing a good job, and Matt Cardona specifically has done a great job. And here's what I thought was interesting. When Matt Cardona was asked flat out, are you happy that you're no longer in the WWE? Look at what you've accomplished. If the WWE came calling, you'd probably hang the phone up. He said, oh, no, I wouldn't. Absolutely would not. I would absolutely listen. Well, that would—that's another thing that we might be looking at down the road, Mike.
That is another thing that they might be looking at down the road. And I mean, think about it. We thought Cardona was going to be a lifer in the WWE, right?
Yeah.
And they fired him, and he remade himself to what he is. And his wife is probably on the road to doing that as well. And really, they did nothing with Chelsea Green when they had her WWE. I mean, we saw what she did as Laurel Maness, right?
Absolutely.
So,
yeah. And we can also say this. I mean, Cardona's been a little bit like Drew McIntyre. He sort of reinvented himself. So maybe there's some interest. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll be back here on Tuesday with a Monday Night Raw report.
You're listening to Wrestling Chat Radio.